blessing we have come.
We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise. We have come to give you glory. And we have come to give you praise. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. We have come. We have come to give you glory. Oh, we have come to give you praise. You're welcome. God, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. We invite you, Lord. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We invite you. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. It's you we want. Come and have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We say, have your way. Have your way. Come and have your way. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Shout out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Oh, shout out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Have your way, have your way. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. Welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place.
Your love has ravished.
Your love has ravished my heart.
and taking me over, taking me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. We sing your love. Your love has ravished my heart and taken me over, taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. We sing, God, pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart, I wanna know your heart. We wanna know your heart.
God, we want to know you more. We want to see more of you, Lord God. We want to simply get closer with you, Lord Jesus. We want to be more intimate with you, God. We really want to know your heart, God. We don't want to just sing this song and just say words, God. We want to know your heart. We want to experience revelation from the Father and the Son. We want to know you more, Jesus, God. We want to see the fire that's in your eyes, God, Lord God. I pray you would give us knowledge and revelation tonight, Lord God. You'd speak to every single heart, God. It wouldn't just be a casual Bible study, Father God, but your word would be implanted into our heart and teach us lessons daily, Father God. Not just tonight, but daily, that we may live what you're trying to speak to us, Lord God. We thank you for giving us another chance to experience something from you again, Lord. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Robin. Hello, family. How's everyone doing? Good. Thumbs up. All right. All right. We're in chapter 3 of Esther. And Assam, take it away, Habibi.
Hello, hello. Oh, look who decided to show up, the man with the red hat. So, good to see you guys. You know, I, all week, honestly, I've been thinking about what we studied in the beginning of chapter 3. And just a quick run around chapter 3, we start hearing about this new character, Haman. And if we just take if we just look at that chapter itself without looking at the history, we wouldn't be doing ourselves a favor, because we need to go back to see who this man is. And Pastor Albert gave us a wonderful background on this man, you know. So we found out who his, you know, ancestors were, and we found out that his ancestors were the first people to fight against the people of God the moment they left Israel. The moment after they crossed the sea, they got thirsty, they kind of complained. God performed the miracle of the hitting the rock, and the water came out, and they were all fulfilled by the water. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit that will come on to the believers after they receive Jesus. And we see that this enemy called the Amalekites came out of nowhere for no reason, just to fight them. And what's frightening and what's comforting at the same time is a verse in Exodus 17:16. It says, he said, God told Moses to write this for the generations, God told Moses to write this for all the generations so they can hear it and learn it. What is it that God wanted the generations like us and everyone else to hear? He wanted us to hear that there were hands lifted up against the throne of the Lord. Whose hands? The Amalekites' hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord. Do you see how evil it is? God is trying to achieve something in the Israelites' life. God is trying to achieve something and to give them the promised land. God is trying to do the same to you and to me. He's trying to accomplish what he promised in Jeremiah, that I know the plans I have for you. Plans for Arise, plans for Pastor Albert, plans for Pastor Mike, for Robin, for me, for Pastor Edwin, for everyone in this church and more. Plans to give us success, plans to bless us, plans to use us for his glory. Plans for all these promises that God has for us. But once we start seeing these plans, this enemy comes and lifts his hands against the throne of the Lord. But then, that's what's discouraging. But what's encouraging, the sentence right after where it says, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Generations to generation. Listen, the war is active. The war is gonna go on and on and on. But it's not against you. It's against the Lord himself. And our victory is not gonna come from us. Our victory is gonna come from the Lord. I'm getting a little too excited. I need to take a deep breath and because we need to move on to the next, hopefully, the next part for today. But the good news, as I said, God is at war. The Amalekites, they're strong, they're trained, they know what they're doing, but God is at war against them. Comfort yourself, tell yourself that the war is for the Lord. God says in Zechariah 2, it says, whoever touches you touches the apple of his eyes. God, this is not my fight, Lord. This is your fight. and we're going to overcome against every Amalekites in our life with in the name of the Lord. Then we hear about the different, we heard about the different seasons. One season, Esther is a queen, Mordecai did everything he can, everything is wonderful. And then now there is a season where they're being attacked by Haman, the whole nation out of nowhere. Then, you know, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the order the king gave. The king, King Xerxes, gave an order. All of a sudden, he promotes Haman, this man Haman, right? And he says that everyone should bow down to Haman. And everyone did, except one man, and that's Mordecai. And we spoke about bowing down. Pastor Mike gave us a wonderful illustration last time. And today, we're going to talk about his decision, Mordecai's decision not to bow down. But before we get to that, it says that day after day, the other servants, okay? If you have your Bible open, go ahead and open it to Esther 3. And you will say that it says, day after day, the servants or the people around Mordecai kept asking him, are you really not going to bow down? Are you really not going to do it? And in that, I don't know what the word to use other than the word nagging, you know, kept nagging him. You really not going to bow down? You really not going to bow down? After many days, after everyone around you, after everyone is pushing him to just do it, you would think someone like that would give in. If you go back to Genesis, before we go to Genesis 39, there are two stories in the Bible. One character gave in to that nagging, almost using the same words. Someone like Samson, okay? In Judges 14, 17, when he went down to the Philistine, and he got engaged to someone, and he gave a riddle to her family members, right? And he wouldn't give her the riddle. He wouldn't tell her the riddle. And then, listen to what the Bible said. But she cried in front of him for 7 days while their special supper lasted. Like, they're having a party, huge engagement party, and she kept crying and crying and crying and crying. And listen to this. Because she was tormenting him with her nagging, he finally gave up. Why is Pastor Albert laughing? Why is Dahlia looking at him and saying something? I have no idea. But she said something to you right now. So because she was tormenting him, so he finally, I don't even want to unmute your mic right now. So because she kept telling him, when are you going to do this? What time are you going to do this? I'm not saying that it's a lady's job or anything like that, but that's what the word of God says. So anyway, because she kept pushing, and Samson didn't have it in him to honor God, he finally gave in. And then later on, which is worse, okay, this was just a little riddle for a little prize, but then later on, something that will cost him his promise. Something will cost him his destiny, and eventually going to cost him his life. In Judges 16, when he was in a relationship with Delilah, and she kept telling him, "What is the secret of your strength? How can we humiliate you?" Really, like imagine if you're engaged to someone. And she was like, "Honey, how can I humiliate you? How can my family beat you up? How can we make your life miserable?" And because she kept, listen to this, she asked him, it's in Judges 16:16. She asked him day after day until his soul was troubled to death. Okay? His soul was troubled to death. And then he told her all that's in his mind. And then we know the rest of the story. She cuts his hair, they arrest him, they give him a job of an animal, and then once his hair started growing a little bit, he kills himself and kills everyone around him. Why are we sharing these stories? We're sharing these stories because when the enemy is nagging, when the enemy keeps pushing us, the enemy knows our weaknesses. and he knows when to get to us. Those servants around Mordecai knew exactly, it wasn't them speaking. It was the enemy that's pushing them to speak these words in his life. You're really not going to bow down? You're really not going to bow down? Now we have a good story. If you go back to Genesis 39, and we hear about this wonderful young man who was in a position to sin. His brothers betrayed him. He is now a slave in Egypt. And then he was good looking and well built. And then his master's wife looks at him and she keeps begging him to sleep with her. And then listen to what the Bible said in chapter 39, verse 10. And she spoke to Joseph day after day. The same words that were used for Samson, same words that are used for Mordecai, day after day. There is no stop. Okay? Why are we sharing this? Because you and I are going to go through the same thing day after day. Day after day, the enemy is going to give us the opportunity to bow down. Day after day, the enemy is going to ask us to bow down from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. What are we going to do? How are we going to stand? Are we well trained? If the Lord Jesus, our Lord Savior, you know, when he was fasting, when he was up in the wilderness fasting, the enemy kept doing what? Kept tempting him. One time with food, one time with the kingdoms on the earth, one time with doing stuff that will, you know, showy and like, you know, asking God to do some miracles that wouldn't benefit anyone. The enemy is always tempting. The enemy is always sending someone that we would bow down to him. And Mordecai said, absolutely, absolutely not. And then they asked him, why aren't you going to bow down? And then he said, finally, because I'm a Jew. That simple. Remember how a couple of weeks ago we talked about when he told Esther not to share her background? Now Mordecai, for some reason, is sharing his background, sharing his beliefs boldly. And with that, I'm going to go to Pastor Albert and to tell us, what's the difference between chapter 2 and chapter 1? When we share and when we don't share.
Well, I think God gives us a certain kind of wisdom. We don't have to share everything with everyone at all times. But there are those times where we're called on, and the Bible makes it very, very clear. And there's a passage I'd like to read to maybe help clarify a little bit from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, and do not be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear, or with reverence and with respect. In other words, be always ready to give an answer for someone for the reason for the hope that lies within you. And when he was placed between a rock and a hard place, and they wanted to find out, why aren't you bowing down like everyone else is bowing down? Well, we know, spiritually speaking, that he wasn't bowing down to the flesh. Because Haman is a picture and a type of the flesh, because he's a descendant of Agag, who is an Amalekite. And the Amalekites, as you mentioned back in the Old Testament, are going to be, their battle with us is from generation to generation. It's a battle against the flesh. And he's saying, I'm not going to bow down to that. Why? Because I worship the Lord God. I am a Jew. I have a relationship with God. And it's so important to be ready to know what our testimony is, so that we can have an answer, so that we don't just give generic answers like, oh, I believe in God, and you drop it at that. No. I believe in God, and here's my story. I don't just believe that God is our creator. He is our savior. No. It's got to be personal. I'm not going to bow down because here's my personal belief, because here's my story. And I've got to be ready in 5 to 7 minutes to share my story with everyone who asks. You know, people don't have a whole lot of time to hear what we have to say, but they do have a few minutes. So we need to put our testimony in just a few minutes and be ready to share that when the opportunity presents itself. So I'm not walking into my job place with a big old fat Bible and putting it on my desk and trying to scare people like I'm a big Bible thumper. That's not the point. The point is I am the Bible, right? Like my life is the Bible. My behavior is biblical. My demeanor is biblical. The smile on my face is what's going to present peace, right? And then when they come to ask me about something, I need to be ready to give them an answer right then and right there.
Amen. I love that part that we have to be ready within 50 minutes, 50 to 70 minutes to give them a reason why we're, he said, that's what I heard. Anyway, so the servants, you know, so finally he breaks his silence and he says, this is who I am. Okay. Pastor Mike, tell us about those servants. Tell us the servants that we feed, that like, they're simple of someone, of something that we face day after day. What's their perspective? Why are they asking me? Why are they asking you to bow down?
So we see, you know, as we see the servants, and Islam shared this with me earlier, that the servants didn't know any better, right? They were just told to bow down, and they bowed down. That's what they know to do. Mordecai knew more than that, right? Just like we know more, you know, sometimes out there they don't fully understand what's happening or what's, but we know who we believe in. We know who we serve and what we stand for. And, you know, we've been talking in the last weeks about obedience and obeying and sacrifice. And now he's talking about, you know, the pressures and the nagging. And we get a lot of those kind of tied into bowing down. We hear a lot of these voices, if you will, with these things that speak to us, and they just say, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And right here we see the picture of the servants who just kept asking them and adding the pressure. Mm. Asking them, adding the pressure. So in their minds and in their eyes, they considered what Mordecai was doing, it was disrespectful, it was dishonoring, it was wrong. So now that puts Mordecai kind of in an island, if you will. And sometimes we may feel in that island too, because nobody is with us. Right, Lord, open our eyes that we may see we're not alone. But, you know, we have been in those points maybe, or maybe you feel you're in that point where you feel I'm alone in this and everybody else is questioning me. Everybody else is pressuring me. Everybody else wants me to go with the flow, you know, that's, you know, just go with the flow and it's going to ease the problems. And a lot of times we may think, you know what, I'll just do this and just avoid all the pressures. You know, I'll just do this, maybe this one time, and avoid all the pressures. And as we know, that can cause problems, as we learned last week, with bowing down to the flesh. When the flesh speaks, there's consequences and there's things that happen, you know, as we spoke about King David. But I don't have the hour, 5 minutes like last week. But, you know, we have these things that speak to us. The servants were asking. They put pressure. Like I said, they thought it was wrong. But one thing that stands out to me is that then after he told them why, once he was put in that position to answer why and what his reason was for not bowing down, he said, I'm a Jew. Then after he got tested. Right. Then after they tested and they went and told Haman to see this, the Bible says, to see if his words would stand.
Yes.
Right. So as soon as you make that confession of faith, or once you let them know what you stand for, what you believe in, whether you feel it's right or wrong, all of a sudden they're looking, and what is the world looking for? They're looking for us to trip up and fall. Right. I know I work in construction. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, a lot of stuff that's not right going on. And they're watching, and I've seen when they watch and they see if I'm going to enter in. I've seen that personally. And I've seen the times where I have messed up, you know, and don't record that part. But and they're quick to say, oh, look it. And you're supposed to be a Christian. Mm. But right away, you know, quick to point out. So they're pressuring you. Why? You finally give them an answer. Now they're going to put you to the test. And then even more, it says that Haman came, and he came to see for himself right? And when he saw, then we know what happens after that. Then he plots for the destruction. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but these things of the servants, they represent all these daily things, and they can be, like we said last week, things that we may consider small. You know, I have my kids, my daughter, you know, if I feel that there's something going on, or just my boys, if something's, and they're on there right there, but if there's something going on, do I want to deal with the hassle of arguing or bringing something up, or do I just let it go by, right? These are things that we face daily that, you know, we have to make these decisions. He chose not to bow down because he served the Lord, right? And I think of, and I'll wrap it up with this maybe, but in Acts chapter 4 and 5, the disciples get arrested and they get told, don't speak about Jesus, right? And then Peter says, well, you tell me, is it better to obey man or to obey God, right? You decide. And, you know, they chose, I'm going to obey God. You know, Galatians, I got it written down right here so I don't mess it up. Galatians 1:10, right? When the apostle Paul says, for if I still please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ, right? So we serve the Lord, we stand for the Lord, and there's going to be these daily things in our lives that are going to be nagging, as my brother said, that are going to be persistent and persistent and persistent and persistent. And I like the example of Joseph. It's an awesome example. It says, I will not do this sin against the Lord, right? I will not, his eyes were on the Lord, and I will not do sin against the Lord. He didn't say against your husband, against you, against me, against the Lord, right? I will not do this, right? His eyes were on the Lord. And I know, easier said than done. Like I said, don't record this part. There's my times where I've messed up, right? But it's important that we do our best, try to keep our eyes on the Lord, so that when these moments come up and all these pressures come our way, right, we're able to stand. We're able to stand and just say, Lord, remove the evildoers from my life. So anyways, just stand with the Lord. These pressures got to go. They will go. As we know, the enemy has the plan, and this plan came forth because he wanted to destroy not just Mordecai, but the whole Jewish nation. Right, he maybe thought, if I just get rid of this one man, it may be nothing, but if all these guys come together with this belief, I'm really in trouble. So I got to get rid of the whole nation, right? But we know that the Lord is on our side. Amen?
Amen. That's wonderful. You know, you said something amazing right now, and it just reminded me, honestly, of the first discipleship or mentorship I had was Pastor Albert here about 20 years ago at a Burger King in Santa Monica. It was on Pico and 20th, 20 years ago. I was sharing with Pastor Albert about, he actually preached about peer pressure. And I thought that this is a perfect message for young people, because we were doing a Bible study for a youth meeting. I was like, this is a perfect thing. But as I grow, I find out that this peer pressure is not about high schoolers and teenagers, and no, it actually keeps growing and growing as you grow. This never ends. It just takes different form. You know, when we're in high school and junior high, there is some kind of temptation, and as we grow, there's some kind of temptation, but the peer pressure never goes away. You know, it just changes. And I told Pastor Albert, and this is exactly what you said right now, and he said, you know, we're all being tempted. We're all being tested. We all have pressure coming against us. We were starting to study in, I believe, in Romans or something like that. But you said that that right there, for some reason, it to me, it's like I heard it for the first time ever, to know that someone like Pastor Albert is being tempted. Someone who is, you know, strong in the Lord and a great preacher, great speaker, is being tempted just like me, is under pressure just like me. You know, the servants are everywhere. The peer pressure is everywhere, and it's against everyone. But just like Pastor Mike said, just like the enemy has his groups of warriors and soldiers that he uses to attack you, you and I have a group of warriors around us. That's why it's important to be around believers. Just like the enemy has his soldiers pushing us to bow down, God is sending our brothers and sisters to lift us up. Just like Moses could not hold those, you know, his arms up the whole time, he needed two people that every time he gets tired, he leans on them and they lift his hand up and the whole nation went. So the question comes, why not just bow down? Why just not do it once and get it over with and call it a day? I'm tired. It's been a long day. It's been a long week. We've been in construction. Our general contractor is driving us crazy. And why not just bow down one time? And if you don't know, Philip is our general contractor. So why not? I shared with Pastor Albert and Philip and Pastor Mike this morning that sometimes when Dina and I argue, and we do argue, and because she's always wrong and I'm always right, most of the time, she's not in the room. I'm about to lock the room. Anyway, so most of the times, 2 days or 3 days later, we look back and I'm like, why were we arguing again? what happened? Like, we don't even know. We don't even know why we gave in. We don't even know why we bowed down to our selfishness, to our stubbornness, to the old nature that says me, 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 not you, you, you. That's what we agreed on. We agreed that we're going to love each other. We're going to honor each other. We're going to listen to each other. But something happened that brings us to our knees, not to one another, but to the flesh and to being selfish. So why not bowing down? And with that, I'm going to go to my brother.
Okay, thank you, Assam. As you were talking about Samson, I recognized something for the first time, that really he had a supernatural power because he lasted 7 days of nagging. This is amazing. 7 days of nagging. That's...
Hey, where are the women on this call?
I think we're all going to be in trouble.
She's
where
here.
Are the women on this call?
Anyway.
I'm biting my tongue.
7 days. Can you believe it? Anyway. But I'm not talking about this today. I'm talking about why not bow down? Why? What's wrong with bowing down? What's wrong with just giving in and give up on standing? And you know, everyone is sinning, let me sin. Everyone is bowing, let me bow. Everyone doing this is what do you call it? Trend. There is a trend in the you know, in Facebook, trend in this, let's do it. But it's not. It's not about only that he was Jews and it's disobedient of the word of God and not to bow down but to God. It's not only that. Actually, when I thought about it this morning and yesterday, I discovered it's an issue of love, that God does not want us to bow down to the things that is offered to us because he loves us so much. Yesterday, I had a wonderful, wonderful revelation. I shared it with Pastor Al. I shared it with the group that we discussed the Bible study in the morning. And they will hear it again. So Pastor Al will hear it for the third time today. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. For me, it was encouraging so much that I was listening to a song, a new song that I love so much. It's called Graves into Gardens. And one of the sentences says this. I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up like what I did in the morning. So it says this. If I find it, I think I find it. so it says this, I'm not afraid to show me to show you my weakness, my failure and flaws. Lord, you've seen it, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. When we bow down, normally, this is I know because I know it. Normally, when we bow down to something that, the enemy offered to us, it comes with weakness, like the Samson story. It comes with humiliation. It comes with, but it's more mainly, it comes with guilt and shame that takes me away from the Lord, which is the main purpose of the enemy, to take me away from God's presence. That will bring the shame. I always tell this story. It's kind of, you know, it's Africa, so I always tell this story about my friend that was late in the bus station, and he wanted to rent a bed, only a bed, and it was £2 for the bed for the night. It's like open air bed, but it's for £2, and he had only £1. And the owner of the beds said, no, you cannot rent for £1. He said, no, I'm tired, I'm waiting, the bus is late. Just give me, okay. So he said, okay, you for £1, you can lay down, but not to sleep. So it's like, what? He said, what? Yeah, you can lay down, but not to close your eyes and not to sleep. Fall asleep. And I was like, he was so like, why? He said, because if someone else come to rent it for £2, I will wake you up, you get up, and someone else will take it. So that's like it. And when my friend told me the story, I immediately, the Holy Spirit told me, this is exactly what the enemy does with us. He gives us something nice to bow down to and to be happy for a moment. But then he say, he comes with shame. He comes with guilt. He comes with things that will take you away from the Lord. You can lay down, but you cannot sleep. You can enjoy this sin for a moment, but I'm going to give you guilt for months and months and months to take you away from God, which is exactly the song is saying. You know, it's saying, Lord, I'm not afraid to show you my weaknesses. I'm not afraid to show you my flaws and brokenness, because you know them all. Not only that, this is what God revealed to me yesterday, and I was like, I jumped. I was working, and the workers were around me, but I jumped. I started to dance, and people were like, are you okay, man? I was like, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. They are Christians, so they know how the joyful of the Lord, you know, the joy of the Lord. And I was like, hallelujah. God does not only know the sin that I know. God knows the sin that I know and the sin that I don't know, but he still calls me his friend. He loves me so much, and he calls me his Amen. Friend. Amen. So the shame and the guilt that the enemy comes when I bow down, you know, but I want to everyone hear it today. Everyone hear it. The Lord knows the sin that you bow down to, the brokenness in your heart and in your life, more than you. Because David, hallelujah, I'm getting excited. David said this, search my heart, O God, and know if there is any wickedness in me. If there is any wickedness in me, give me the way everlasting. Which means what? Some sins, I know things that I bow down to, but some of it, even I don't know about. You search it, Lord. You know my heart. And the word no heart, it sounds like a Spanish word. Yada. It's like nada. It's yada. You know, the same word that it was used that Adam knew his wife. when he got with his wife, the new, which means engagement, which means getting close together. So David is inviting the Lord to know his heart. That means, I don't want you only to search my heart, I want you to dwell in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you dwell in my heart, anything inside of me, you will get it out and you will give me the way everlasting. Christ will dwell in my heart, and the sin, the things that I bow down to, it will be kicked out. So what I'm saying is, or what God wants to encourage us is, even if you bow down, if you bowed, E-D, if you bow down, the Lord loves you so much and he knows everything and he still calls you my friend. Amen? So there is no shame, there is no guilt. There is no shame, there is no guilt, but there is love. The Lord loves us so much and he wants us to share our love to. Can you repeat this with me? There is no shame.
There's no shame.
There is no guilt.
There's no guilt.
Again, there is no shame. There is no guilt. But there is everlasting love. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Well, if you want to see the difference between bowing down and not bowing down, go back to the stories that I shared earlier. Go back to the story of Samson and see what happens to him. Go back to the story of Joseph and see what happened to him. See, when someone gives their heart fully to God and choose to connect with God, and see the other side of it. But it's never too late. As Philip said, it's never too late. We all make mistakes. We all fall down. We all bow down to things. It's never too late to come back. It's never too late to ask for forgiveness. Those servants that we're talking about, the peer pressure, to them, Xerxes is the king of kings. He is in control. He's glorious. He is everything. And whatever he says has to go. But you and I, we know who is the king of kings.
Amen.
We know who's in control. We know who's sovereign. And again, let's repeat this one more time. Even though the name of the Lord is not mentioned once in this whole chat, in this whole book, and the name Xerxes is mentioned 190 times, but still, the one who had the final word is who? Is God. The one who moved things as he wished was God. Not Haman, not Xerxes, not anyone. It was all God. The servants didn't know the King of Kings, but you and I today, we're blessed to know the King of Kings. And then we look at Haman's plan really quick. His plan was not just against Mordecai. His plan was not just to destroy one man. His plan was to destroy a whole nation. Okay, I read the devotion. I shared it with the pastors here yesterday. Max Locato. He said, if you have a newborn baby, can you imagine? Can you picture grabbing the arm of your newborn baby and just breaking it? Can you imagine grabbing a knife and sticking it in the chest of your newborn little girl? What a horrible picture that is. But that's the picture of what sin does to us and to our families. There's a story in the Bible about Achan, Pastor Albert.
Achan.
Yeah. And because he stole something that's not his, he caused a disaster for him and his family. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, if one part of the body, because we are all the body of Christ, right? And Haman and Xerxes, they're not only after Mordecai, they're after everyone in the body of Christ. They're after the pastor. They're after my brothers and sisters. They're after my kids. They're after my wife. They're after my business. They're after my co-workers. They're after everyone. And one bow down from me, you better know it will affect everyone. When I'm not doing my job, when I'm not praying, when I'm not bowing down before God, when we're not studying when I'm supposed to study, when I'm not guarding my heart and putting effort in as I'm supposed to, guess who's also going to be affected? Dina's going to be affected. The kids are going to be affected. You guys are going to miss out on my 1 hour and 10 minute sermons. And I know how much you love those. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are, like, believe it or not, whether we like it or not, we're stuck together. We're stuck together. And my decision whether to bow down or not is going to affect the rest of the group. That's number one. Number two.
Hi, baby.
Sorry. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Grace. What's some water? And in Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but a sin condemns any people. And it starts with one person. It starts with me. And then it spreads to my family. Then it spreads to my community. And it spreads to my church. It spreads to my city. We can make a difference. We are living right now in probably some of the ugliest times that I've ever seen. I've seen some ugly times. we, as I think I shared with you guys before, my brothers and I, my family, we were in the 90s and the 2000s, we lived in a city that was overrun by terrorists, and they were literally killing Christians right and left. But I think this time we're living in right now is even uglier. But we can make a difference. If we don't bow down to fear, if we don't bow down to what the media is saying, if we don't bow down to the hatred that's being spread around right now, if we don't bow down to these things, we can exalt our nation. We can exalt our community. We can exalt our families. We can make a difference, as we will see later on. And when we saw 2 weeks ago to the three young men who were supposed to be burning in fire, and at the end, the King Nebuchadnezzar, sent a letter that saying that no one, absolutely no one is allowed to even touch one of the Jewish people, one of the Israelites. And the God of the Jewish people, the God of the Israelites, is the real God. And no one is supposed to say one word about him. Three young men decided not to bow down. The glory was given to God. The whole nation was exalted. And guess what? Same thing happened to Mordecai. Same thing happened to Daniel. Same thing happened to Joseph. Because he decided not to bow down to sin, he became the savior of the world at that time and became a blessing to his brothers and sisters and his father and everyone. So we have that same exact opportunity not to bow down. It's either we become harmful to everyone around us, because that's what the enemy plan, that's what the enemy's plan is. But God's plan is also to use us as a blessing. God, when he first met with Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will become a blessing. As God blesses us, we will become a blessing as well. Then let's end this with the timing. And when Haman spoke to the king, and the king was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Do as you wish with the Jews. Haman went to his advisors, and guess who his advisors were? Witchcraft people, people who like read cards and look at, you know, things and all of that. They told him, they were in the first month of the year. And then his own advisors said, the signs are saying that you should destroy them at the end of the year, in the 12th month of the year. And with that, I'll go to Pastor Mike. Because I need some water.
So this month was the Passover month. And one thing that makes me think is that this plan that he had was annihilation of the Jews, right? And we know about the Passover, right? We know when it was announced, when the death was going to pass by, and we know it would pass over with the blood of the Lamb, right? There was a way out. The call was for death. The decree was for death. Death to the Jews. Haman wanted to annihilate them. So the result that they were looking for, that the enemy was looking for through Haman, was death and annihilation, right? We know that there's two plans, that there's two plans that are trying to go forward. One to kill, steal, and destroy, mm-hmm. and one to give an abundant life, right? To give life in abundance. And that's what Jesus tells us in John 10, right? So there's these two plans that's our where we're headed. Either we're going to allow this plan to kill, steal, and destroy us, our family, our future, our children's future, children's children, right? Or are we going to live this abundant life that the Lord has for us, this everlasting life? And so when they rolled the dice or did the cards or whatever they did, when they cast the lot, the pur, as it says, right? It says that it came and they gave them a year. And this year gave them, as we discussed earlier, they gave them time, right? Gave them time to pray, to fast, to come together and believe for the Lord's deliverance, right? So it gave them time, but the enemy wanted to announce it right away. He announced it right away that it gave them time. It gave them a whole year. So it shows us that even when the enemy is plotting, when the enemy has plotting, when the enemy's at work, God's plan will overrule. God's protection will overrule this plan, that even if the plan's going in effect, it turned into a year which allowed things to happen, right? So that they can come together. Now, we know God's hand, as the brother said, God's name doesn't come up. God's name is not mentioned here in this book, but we definitely see his hand moving. Right, we see his hand moving, and even though he's not seen, he's not spoken of, his hand is definitely on the move. And that's what we take comfort, or should take comfort, or we should remind ourselves in, that even if we don't see it, and even if we think maybe you think the timing had passed already and it's too late, or maybe you think it's taking too long, you know, when the Lord decides to move, when the Lord moves in our life, that is the perfect time, you know. So when God moves in our lives, his hand is always moving. His hand is protecting us, whether we see it or not. And we should take comfort in the fact that he is moving in our lives. His hand is upon us. His protection is with us. You know, the announcement of death was proclaimed here through Haman. He wanted to annihilate. He wanted to bring death to this nation, right? But God's hand moved. And we're going to see as we read the chapters what happens if you don't know the story. But we see in our life that we have sinned, right? We have sin in our lives, and the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? He has given us, just like in the Passover, there was a way out. We're going to see in the book of Esther that God gave them a way out. He rescued them. Jesus Christ has rescued us. Right, and just as we deserve this death, he gave us a way out through his son Jesus Christ, and we live for him, and just as he died for us, we live for him, and we give our lives completely to him, and we we try not to bow down to other gods, to our flesh, to pressures, to, you know, we do our best. And it's one thing, Pastor Rob, I say wrong, you can correct me, but Pastor Rob a few weeks said that the decision to serve the Lord is your personal decision, but the fight, or Pastor Al can clean it up, but we are not alone in this, right? The journey, the battle, I mean, we're all connected, as my brother said. So we are not alone in this. Most importantly, the Lord is with us. He fights on our behalf. The battle belongs to the Lord. So when you think of timing, I mean, this all worked out. It was the Passover month, which we know it was God delivering them, and he rescued them. Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb who rescues our life, right? So we surrender our lives to him. So it's never too late. even if you feel I missed it, it's too late for me or whatever. If you're still breathing, it's never too late. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, what I want to emphasize on is that even if it seemed like Haman was in control, even if his advisors seemed like they were in control, they weren't really in control. God was in control. And God is waiting. God is waiting. God is patient. He's waiting for every one of us to get their heart straight with God. Every one of us to stop bowing down if we had bowed down to things. Because not all the Israelites were like Mordecai and Esther. Not everyone was sharing the same beliefs. Not everyone was right with God. Some people had to get right with God. And we know that the rest of the story, what happens. But for now, so we can end, I want us to pray. If you guys have any questions, go ahead, please. If you don't want to ask the questions now, you can email or call any of us. We welcome any questions, any comments. If you have them right now, please go ahead. But before we end, I want us to pray. I want us to pray, as many of us, even just a few little words, couple of words. Pray and share with God the prayer pressure you have, whether it's at work or at home or family or habits that you have that keeps nagging, things that you are used to doing and you can't for some reason get rid of them. Everything that the enemy, every snare, every trap that the enemy had put in your life to bring you down, bring it before God. I'll bring it before God and ask him to get rid of it. And knowing that we only have one King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who can heal us from anything, who can help us with anything. Teach us how to love God so we don't bow down. It's so easy to be tricked. It's so easy to be fooled, to be deceived. I remember one time, Amanda, Pastor Albert's daughter, one time said, when you're hungry, you fill yourself with junk because you're hungry. But if you are full, you're going to be picky with what you eat because you're full. You don't need to fill yourself with junk. If we are filled with God, if we are well fed by God, if we are satisfied and happy with God and know him and have a relationship with him, it's going to be a very hard decision for us to bow down to anything. So I'll give you guys a few seconds. If you have any questions, please go ahead. If you have any comments, anything, please share it. We're all in this together. If you have a prayer request, please go ahead. If not, we'll all pray together.
Good evening, everybody. How you guys doing? I hope that everybody's doing well. I wanted to share something with you guys. All this anxiety and everything else going around, inside of me. And I was like, why am I feeling like this, right? So pretty much I got my, right? And I just opened it, right? And it threw me to Psalms 118. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for he's strength, fast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I will call on the Lord. The Lord answered me, and he will set me free. And pretty much at that point, I just felt like if somebody just threw me a bucket of cold water. And I just knew that everything was just going to be okay. You know, that my family's okay, that my family will be protected, you know, with his love, you know. And I think this is a time that we need to show our love to one another, you know. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, that I have much love for a lot of, you know, all of you guys, not all of you guys, everybody, you know. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you. We love you too, and we missed you last week. And the week before.
Just
Just I have a quick comment about what Pastor Mike shared about the two plans that the enemy has a plan to destroy and kill and steal, and God has a plan to give us abundant life. And fear will take us to the enemy's plan, but trust and faith will take us to God's plan, will reveal God's plan. Okay? And once we have, we even during the hardship and the trouble, even though the plan of the enemy is the one that it's revealed, like was the three young men, fire, it's obvious in front of our eyes. But God's plan by faith was revealed inside the fire. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Abundant life inside the fire. Because he is, you know, the living wills, the living wills of living water inside the fire. So I just when you said it, I was like, I want to pray for my life, for my family, that God's plan to be revealed, you know. And I believe that there is wonderful, wonderful thought. Isn't that what he promised? I have the thoughts that I thought about you, thoughts of peace and hope and future. Amen? Peace, hope, future. Say it. Reveal it. Say it. Declare it over your life. What did I say?
Peace, hope, and future.
Yes. Hope, future. Peace, hope, future. Hallelujah. God bless you. Just want to share this.
Okay, so it's 8:07. If no one else has any comments or questions, let's do quick prayers, as many of us. This is a good moment for us to come before God and to ask for help, and to repent, or to ask for encouragement, ask for a push, whatever it is. Just a few words, five, like the, I was reading a story today about a man who asked for healing, he's been blind all of his life, and he was hit with leprosy all of his life, and he came to Jesus saying five words: I need to be healed. That's all what he said, and he was healed right away. Just a few words. Pastor Albert, if you can unmute everyone, please.
It's not giving me that option. So you have to unmute yourself if you want to speak. I'm sorry.
Okay. If you want to pray, you can unmute yourself.
They keep changing the program.
Lord, I thank you that you're wonderful, loving God. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that even though you know my heart and you know more than I know about myself, Lord, but you still call us friends. Thank you, Lord, that your plans for our lives, Lord, for the church, for Arise International Church, Lord, is plans and thoughts of peace and hope and future, Lord. It's not about numbers, it's not about anything, but it's about coming close to you, Lord, coming to know your heart and to know how much you love us, how much you love the world. You love the everyone in the world, Lord. This is why we send your son to die for the whoever believes, to give them life, Lord, and eternal life. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for the word that's spoken over our life, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that you activate every word that we heard in our life, Lord, to be not only here in our minds, but to be written in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, dear Father God, Lord, thank you, first of all, for giving us this opportunity to be together and partake your word. I ask you, Lord, to engrave those words into our hearts and give us the opportunity, Lord, to communicate one another of your love, who you are, and remember that all the blessings that we have from you are so immense that every day, Lord, remind us who you are. Remind us that you're in control of every single situation, for as small as one that it is, but your hand is there. You're always at work individually, as a family, as a congregation, as a city, as a state, as a country. I ask you, Lord, for revival in every single heart. We pray for that, Lord, and you are in control of all situations that's going through right now. But out of those situations, Lord, you're going to raise up. You're going to raise us up. And you're going to bless every single individual who's working for you, because we have to be with you because you are at work. So I give you, Lord, all the praise for that, and to open our eyes, open our ears, and the obedience that we have to follow. Thank you for our eyes that's doing so wonderful, Lord. Open the gates of blessings over them, Lord.
Yes.
Give them all the desires of their hearts. As a family, Lord, as a congregation that we are.
Yes.
Show us your wonderful blessings that you have is in store for us, Lord.
Yes.
Reveal to us. And thank you for Pastor Al. Thank you for Mike. Thank you for Sam. Thank you for my Habibi. All of you guys, it's so wonderful to be together and have this one. I give you, Lord, all the praise. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we declare you the King of Kings today. We declare you the Lord of Lords. Lord, you are Lord over anything and everything, Lord. You are King of Kings over fear. You are King of Kings over addictions. You are King of Kings over circumstances. You are King of Kings over viruses. You are King of Kings over anything and everything we are facing, Lord. And today I speak that over my life, over my brothers and sisters' lives, Lord. Today in Jesus' name, I'm telling myself and I'm telling everyone that you are the King of Kings and your word will be obeyed and your word will come to life in our life, Lord. Today we declare that today, Lord, we will follow you, we will obey you, we will bow down only to you, Lord. I pray that we would take this word, speak it to each other, encourage each other, pray it on each other, that this church and this group will go out and spread, that will exalt this nation in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for forgiveness of our sins, Lord, of our actions, Lord, of our whatever we may have done, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free, Lord. And we just pray right now, Lord, for healing, restoration, Lord, of any damage, any wounds, any hurts that may be done because of these actions, Lord Jesus. No matter how old, Father God, no matter how long ago, Father, we pray, Lord, if the wound, if the scars, if the pain is still there, Lord, we ask for healing, Lord, your healing touch, Father God. Lord, Father God, we pray that we be united to you, most important, Lord. We just thank you, we honor you, and we love you, in Jesus' name.
I just want to take the time, Father, to lift up our nation before you. And God, I pray peace over this land. And I pray, Father God, that you would cause every eye to look up, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Father, your return is at hand, and you desire to prepare your bride to return to you, Father God. I pray that every heart be touched by your glory. I pray that there would be such a stir in every heart and soul, Father God, where we take a stand, a firm foundation to declare your glory, Father God. I pray boldness upon your people, Jesus, that the same boldness that you have given Peter, you would give us, Father God, to let your light shine in and through our life. Father, we know that it's not by might nor by power. It's not anything that we have that we can offer, but we know it's according to the power of the Spirit of the living God that abides in us. So we rend our hearts to you. We give you our lives and our souls. We ask that you would move mightily in and through our brokenness and weakness, and let your name be glorified, Father God. Use the five loaves and the two fish that we are. Thank you for taking us through the process of breaking and blessing and multiplying and giving out, Father God. And thank you that you gather up the fragments because you care about the little things of life, Father, and there's nothing lost with you. We thank you, Jesus. We yield ourselves to you, and we trust you fully for the things that you're about to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much, Hassan.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you.
I know we're a few minutes late, but think of it this way. If you were leaving church right now to go to your homes, you wouldn't even... like, you would be so, so far away from your home. So,
that's,
you know, 10, 15 minutes, not really a big deal, you know?
No worries at all.
Yeah. No. Act like you're still stuck in, you know, the first or two lights.
When you're having a good time, time just, it's not time.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So, you're good.
All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Have a great night, everyone.